All right, so I'm going to talk about the updates, the 4244 biz, which is the history info header that we updated to support the target URI requirements. And we've lost some people down at the bottom. I don't know if you can fix that, because it was a PDF. Okay. Wants to be funky. Well, we may be able to go ahead, go to the next chart, and we'll see if we what we lost. Okay. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to summarize where we are with this document, discuss the resolution of, actually, it was one issue that we discussed at IETF 76. There was a new issue that was identified after IETF 76 as we're making updates, and we think the document is ready for working group last call, but we'll talk about that. Next chart, please. Okay, so what we did is this was agreed as a working group document at IETF 76 and on the list, of course, and so I submitted the -00 working group version of the document. Next chart, please. Okay, so the changes, editorial changes, we still had some remnants of the AOR tag that was in there, and so we really went through and tidied up the text quite a bit. We clarified the privacy processing. Next chart, please. Yeah. Okay, and so the primary issue that we kind of got wrapped around was okay, so we've defined these new tags. How is it that you actually use it, you know, to figure out your services and such? And we had a voicemail example in there, and we added some text that really described how you can pull out the information that you need for your service there. So for the voicemail example, and this is in Appendix B, the first example, I think the second example maybe. So you're basically forwarding, you can either make the decision you're forwarded, that the request is forwarded, you're going to use the first HI targeted to URI in the header within the domain for which the processing entity is responsible, right? Or you can go ahead, in some cases, you might want to use the last one that's tagged with the MP. For example, and perhaps in a customer service environment, you know you've gone to an agent with certain capabilities before you've come to the last. Okay, Colin's still confused. Have you read the update document?
So Mary, I read the document.
Okay, good.
And my comment was going to be, you know, geez, Mary, you haven't added what I wanted, and then I didn't realize you'd put this on in this section. I was looking for sort of normative text in the main not a comment in the example. But I just went and reread this paragraph. As you put that slide up, I went, oh, I blew my review of this. Make clear here, I'm speaking purely as an individual, not as any sort of AD position. But this still seems to be the problem that I've always complained about, of that the primary purpose of this draft is so that we know which is the right, how to do services like voicemail or something. That's the whole purpose of reason why we put this information in. And yet, even here, we don't have an algorithm that I can tell people to go and implement. You do this, or you might do that.
It depends.
But if you do A, it's wrong in the B cases,
well,
and if you do B, it's wrong.
Well, it depends your policy. You're going to configure your system to use one or the other.
Well, no. What does that mean? How is I, as a deployer, how do I know which policy to use? Are we serious?
For example, what we're recommending, the first one, and maybe we need a BCP or something, right, on the usage of this. I don't think we can do normative, though, right?
If you've a protocol works because you know what to do with information, not we put random information into some place and we don't know what it means.
What we're providing here is a building block to do different flavors of services, right?
Okay, what I'm saying is this building block is not useful for implementing those services. And that you can prove me wrong on that, and I'd love to be wrong on that. And to say, like,
well, this is the one that causes you the largest amount of
grief, it's just the easiest one example to pick fun of, but all of the other ones are the same problem. But, I mean, this is the easiest one to understand. If we can't do this one, the other ones are even harder.
Well, I think this one's actually more difficult to understand because there's cases where you're going to have flexibility on what your PBX does. There's not consistent behavior nowadays, so how can we have consistent behavior with how we're using this?
But that means that there's no way I can use a PBX from one vendor and even stuff from all from one vendor, the PBX and voicemail, it doesn't even matter. I don't know how to build a system that reasonably results in voicemails doing what the user requirements are with this. I mean, saying that there's two ways to do this, it sort of hits the fundamental problem. And it's not just like, well, if you configure A on one side, then you have to configure B on the other side. The problem is on a real deployment, I don't know how you'd set this policy. I don't know what you'd do that would make it work.
It depends upon the characteristics of the system that you're deploying, right?
How? I mean, can we put advice
on
that?
Well, like I said, probably 99 out of 100 cases you're going to do this in a PBX environment, right? I can't see that you would want to do it a different way, right? As you're, for example, your call gets forwarded through the network, right?
But I mean, if it went through a proxy on the way to,
This is where you get into looking at the domain stuff as well, looking for the last entity, right, for the first entity that's tagged within your domain, right? You know that that's who the call was originally intended for within that domain, but there's been something that's happened and you've lost the information for the original target, right?
Okay. Well, there's some other people want to talk in the mic, so I'll be
sure.
I'm not
okay.
yet convinced that this solves a useful problem, I guess.
Okay, John Elwell, please.
John Elwell, yeah, just following on from what Cullen was asking, where is this policy? If the policy is at the voicemail server,
it's not going to be at the voicemail server.
Well, okay, so if the policy is at the PBX, how does the voicemail server then know which entry to look for in order to comply with the policy at the PBX, where the call was forwarded?
Yeah, so you are going to have to do the voicemail server, yeah, to have that understood. But Well, some voicemail servers, for example, it depends upon your interface to your voicemail server, right? We don't always have consistent interfaces with those either, right? So it depends upon what information you feed in. There might be some cases where you're going to send the whole message. Most cases I know you're not sending the whole message to the voicemail server, right? You're sending him the information that you want him to use, whose mailbox you want it directed to.
We're not describing
the interface from the entity that interfaces with the voicemail server.
Yeah,
right?
I think I'm having the same sort of problem that Cullen's having understanding how this policy would work to cover these cases.
So we can take an action to go and add some more text around that. And I guess Cullen's wanting. I don't think we can have normative text. We can have recommendations. Right.
Well, why not have normative text? I mean, this seems like a good question to bring up to the group or whatever. I mean, is there?
Well, part of we've not done normative text for services, if you will, anywhere. Right. We have BCPs and informational
things.
Sure.
Now the voicemail. Let's say normative text at the same level as say the voicemail URI. We're not describing a user interface here. We're describing how you extract the information about.
Spencer Dawkins, I'm a little confused about whether we're talking about that we should or shouldn't do normative text, or whether we can't do normative text. I'm not sure which one we're talking about now, and I'm not sure that we're talking about the same.
Well, I think we're mixing both, right? Because I don't think, for example, in this example, you have systems that would want to implement it different ways.
So now,
if we can figure out how to extract that still into normative text, right, as you know, shoulds, musts, mays, right, then we can give that a go, right?
Well, I mean, I think that's the key question. If you can't describe this normatively, it doesn't matter whether you'd like to or not. But I
don't disagree with you. Yes.
I'd love to. Shorten the cycle time on this conversation down below one ITF, one time around per ITF cycle. Do people think we can't do a normative do normative text?
Well, I mean, we can write normative text for anything and everything. It's whether or not we should write normative text, in my opinion, but. And I will note this document, we submitted this document well before the deadline and got zero comments on the mailing list, so it's been out there for a while. Okay, so let's go ahead and, that was the one issue, it looks like we've still got the one issue to work through.
I was going to say, we need to make sure that we have this discussion on the list and drive it to conclusion, because I don't think that we had something very satisfying in the room here.
I think that's correct. I mean, okay, so let's go ahead and go to the next issue. So this was the big thing as we were going through and tying up the text is that we had changed how the redirect server, the processing for that between 4244 and 4244 biz, and we realized we'd broken things when we did that, okay? Because what the previous version, the individual document had, was having the redirect server populate the history info header and the messages, and then having the proxy, when it got the 3XX, know that it was already pre-populated. But you can't do that. That's pretty broken because the redirect server really doesn't know whether or not, you know, the targets that it populates in the contact header would ever be used. Okay? So what we did to fix this, and part of the reason why, let me go back a little bit, we had done that is because the redirect server, as it populates the target list, is the one that knows how it was determined, right? You know, the mapped or the registered contact, right? That happens at the redirect server, so we have to capture that information somehow. So what we decided to do here, next chart please, was we added a new URI parameter to the targets in the contact header that are returning the 3XX response. And then we got rid of the fact that the redirect server is populating history info headers. So what we do is that we also add this UIR parameter to any time that the targets are determined and put into the target list. And this, again, part of what this gets back to is we've really, the impact on the core RC3261 processing is just totally minimal. We have consistent processing whether or not the targets came from the contact header or whether they were determined by the proxy via the various methods. And then what we do, the third thing is that we remove the URI parameter as we populate the history info header. So, and that's, you know, what you do in section 16.6. So it's quite clean now. The text is, if you go look at the diff, we've removed chunks of text and it really, you know, I don't know what Colin thinks, but if you read through the document, the mechanics are all down fairly tightly now. What we're debating, you know, the other issue was how we're really using this to realize the services, so. Okay, and I'm just going to go ahead and just highlight some of the other options we considered.
Just clarifying questions about this. So this means that both the redirect server that's issuing the 302 and the proxy or UA that recursed on it both right. need to support this RFC, right? Or the
correct,
base version.
Correct,
to do
correct. Okay. And you're going to be able to see whether or not that information's out there and you do the best you can with the information you have, right?
Right, okay. This
and
makes
we
sense.
Still maintain our backwards compatibility. And again, what this means, though, is that it's much less of an impact than to implement 4244 biz as we have it written now than the other, right? Because we have, it's just much tighter. It's really quite simple to do by adding this UIR parameter. Okay, so other options we looked at is we thought, okay, we'll go ahead and just put the target attribute rather than including it as part of history info header, just stick it in the UIR parameter. But we thought, you know, that's really complex because then you've got to go find your history info header and then you've got to go digging through and looking to see if you have this target URI parameter, you know, as you try and process those headers. So that seemed not very nice. And then we thought, well, why don't we just throw the whole history info header with this target attribute as a URI parameter? We thought, you know, that really obfuscates the information, and of course, entities can always remove URI parameters, so it really was a bad idea. So the way it's been done is really the cleanest approach for it. Alrighty? Okay, so next chart just goes the basic example and showing you how you can get the information. And this is really what Colin wants to be normative. He wants us to say, okay, you go and you find your, you know, the last one, your mapped 1.2, and that points back to the entry, you know, you go find the matching index in the history info entries, and that's the guy you want, okay? And the same thing, you've got another mapped one, and that ends up being the first one that was overwritten if you follow the chain of the indices back through. And again, this was a change that was done in the last individual version that really makes things very easy to parse through the information, right? Because you're very explicit about which entity was overwritten by including the index, escaping the index there, you know, in the including the index as part of the mapped parameter there. All right? Okay, next chart. So, you know, we were thinking it was ready for working last call based upon the discussion of the previous issue. We're going to have to make, let's go ahead and get some list discussion going on this and see if we can get some agreement on how normative we can be with describing the processing for the services. All right. Anybody have any other questions, comments, concerns? All right. Thanks.
When people are reviewing this, especially at the point that it gets to working group last call, have one corner of your brain be inventing useful test scenarios. We've got a SIPC coming up in May. I'd like to spin up a multi-party test to actually put some stress on this thing. So if anybody comes up with something that would be particularly illuminating on the behavior of this stuff, please send me a note.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to reiterate what I said about halfway through the conversation. It seems that there's at least one issue here that we need to have a bit more conversation on so we can close consensus. So I'd like to see that happen before we go ahead and put it into a last call. But it sounds like it's making good progress. So I would especially encourage everyone who stood up at the microphone to make sure that they take their concerns to the mailing list in a way that can start that conversation, please.
I'd like to add, I don't know how many people have had their eye on this. I haven't been paying a huge amount of attention to this. And it seems like there's been a big change in here, enough that if you looked at it a long time ago, you better look at it again. So, beware.
John Elwell. I did read this draft. I read it on the way over, and I thought, yes, it's an improvement over the previous version. I thought I understood it. I have to say it took me a while to understand what it was that Mary explained on the slide about the redirection case. I think it's quite a neat solution, but it didn't stare out at me when I read it somehow. I don't know what was missing exactly, but when I delved deeply, I found I could understand it. I didn't actually have time to submit a detailed review comment, so basically when I read it, it seemed okay to me. The comment I made earlier was really as a result of what Colin said. It made me realise that there was indeed something missing there, but I hadn't noticed it before, which is why I hadn't raised it on the list. Thanks.
Yeah, it's just...